Welcome to Civilly Speaking with host Sean Harris. Each month, Civilly Speaking brings you interviews on practical and timely legal issues on the local and national level. We hope you enjoy today's show.
Hello, I'm your host Sean Harris, and this is episode 70, Civilly Speaking, brought to you by the Ohio Association for Justice. Today we have Matt Nakajima of Ritgers & Ritgers joining us to give us some insight into a recent trial during the pandemic in which he helped to secure an important plaintiff's verdict. Before we get to that, I'd like to thank our sponsor. Today's podcast is brought to you by Preferred Capital Funding. Preferred Capital is proud to continue to be one of OAJ's top sponsors for the past 10 years plus. They continue to provide non-recourse loans to your clients, and while they fund the client, they work for you, the attorney. Preferred Capital has the lowest rates in the industry and the only client funding company approved by OAJ. Contact Jason Porter at jason@pcfcash.com for more information. Matt Nakajima, thanks very much for joining us here on Civilly Speaking.
Thanks, Sean. Thanks for having me. I'm very honored.
Now, recently, I mean, within the last couple of weeks here, you and your firm had a civil jury trial during a pandemic. What was that like?
It's definitely an experience. It was Lindsay Lawrence and I tried it. It was February 22nd. Monday, February 22nd is when it started. It went 3 days, and it was in Warren County, Ohio. It was a unique experience with, obviously, with everyone wearing masks for a big chunk of the time and not being able to see jurors' facial expressions and reading their nonverbal communications. It definitely made us reconsider how we were going to present some elements of the case.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. So attorneys, witnesses, jurors all had masks on.
Good question. So we actually took cues from the judge. When we first started, before the court allowed us to start voir dire, we saw that the judge took his mask off, and he actually addressed the jury and said, "I am not going to be wearing a mask from the bench." And he asked the jurors how they felt about it. Everyone said it was okay. And so we took his prompt. So when I went out to start one ear, I asked the jury. The first thing out of my mouth was, would it be okay with you if I took my mask off so that you could have a better chance to understand it? Because there was, it's a very large courtroom. So I was probably 15 to 20 feet away from the jury. And you have to stand at or near the podium during this trial. So, and then there are glass partitions between counsel's table and the podium. So, really, I'm up there by myself, not close to anybody. And so, we were able to take our mask off while giving arguments, questions, witnesses, and voir dire, which is very helpful.
And asking the jury for their permission was probably the smartest approach, right?
I thought so. You know, the judge was very deferential to them about their concerns. Now, we are in Warren County, and it tends to be a little bit more conservative. I think a lot of the jurors expressed some frustration with, you know, the liberty taken away to some extent with the curfews and the mask wearing. So I did not think in this community, especially with our jury panel, that was going to be a major issue, that we did not wear a mask.
Right.
They continued to wear their masks throughout the entire trial.
Well, and that's a good point. Did you cover the topic of masks or precautions during voir dire, or is that something that just came up naturally?
It was specific to our case. We did not get into a lot of conversation about how people felt about sitting on a jury trial during COVID.
Yeah.
Warren County did a lot of preparation with the panel before we ever got involved. And so they heavily screened people about how they felt about that. But our trial theme throughout this case was that our client's freedom, her freedom from pain, was taken from her. And now she was imprisoned by it. And so we tied in her loss and the loss of liberty. And we focused a lot on the constitutional guarantees. And so one of the questions we asked jurors is how they felt about some of the restraints that have been put on them as a result of this pandemic. And that's kind of what got into the discussion of things they value in life that we sometimes take for granted. You know, a lot of people, when you ask them what's important to you in your life, they're going to focus on their religion, their faith, their family, but mobility, independence are things that we often take for granted, the ability to walk. So we really tie that into freedom. And that's, we use the pandemic and some of the restrictions to get people talking about those issues.
And how did you find, speaking of talking to people during this, about these issues, how did you find the Vordeer process when you can't see half of the face of the person you're asking questions to?
Very tough. It's probably the most challenging thing that we can do. You know, I don't know the exact number, but I've been told something like 90% of communication is nonverbal. And when you cannot see if people are frowning at you when you're talking, or if they're saying things reluctantly and their face is kind of scrunched up because they're frustrated with you, you just can't figure that out. So one thing that we addressed at the very beginning is that because everyone's wearing masks, it's so important that everyone talk to us. Please speak up. We can't read your nonverbal communication. So it is even more important now than ever that everyone agree to speak with us. Don't hold something back. And so that's something we really harped on. But because we can't read nonverbal communication, we can't see their expressions, that we really needed their cooperation and agreement to work with us throughout this process so that we could truly get to know them and get their thoughts and feelings on certain issues.
Mm-hmm. And how about presenting your case in chief and witnesses? How did that go?
It went well. It went well. One thing that we really did differently in opening and closing is we incorporated a lot more visuals than I think we have in prior trials. In particular, I was worried about how the jurors were going to be able to hear me. And in particular, some of our experts. One of our experts, actually the treating surgeon, was of Indian descent, and he wore a mask, and it was by video. But he would not take off his mask, and so he already had somewhat of a thick accent. And between the accent and the mask, it was hard for me to understand him at times. So we put in opening a lot of heavy visuals, highlighting key statements he made. In addition, we actually went through the surgery through slides so that everyone could understand what happened in this case as far as treatment, even if you couldn't understand exactly what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then with witnesses, we had the witnesses do the same thing. We asked for permission if they could take the mask off. And there was also social distancing of well over 6 feet from the jurors and the judge. And the witnesses were able to communicate with their masks off, which I think was very helpful because some of them were pretty soft-spoken to begin with.
Mm-hmm. How about the setup of the courtroom? You mentioned some of the plexiglass, and this judge, I guess, keeps you close to the podium. But anything different about, you know, moving around in the courtroom?
Because of the social distancing of the jurors, I mean, the box was really spread out, and some of the jurors were actually outside of the box. They were on the side, close to the court's door for chambers. And that made it somewhat difficult when trying to communicate with people, especially when trying to show visuals like blow-ups and things of that nature. So I kind of took some liberties with standing behind the podium so that I could specifically move and get, you know, kind of a direct mirroring of certain jurors. I would walk kind of in front of the podium, and then every once in a while I'd have to be reminded I have to get back. But it makes it somewhat difficult when people aren't close together. You have to try to make sure that people can see visuals from all angles. Luckily for us, this courtroom had a probably 100-inch or bigger projection screen that allowed us to put a lot of things on PowerPoint and show that we otherwise wouldn't be able to.
I was going to ask you about that, and this may be just more of a general trial strategy question, but whether you have a preference between electronic presentation, PowerPoint, et cetera, versus physical, you know, boards or blow-ups?
We prefer a mix of both when we can. We often are uncertain as to whether some of the technology that we want to use can be incorporated in certain courthouses. Luckily for us, Warren County, they have a pretty good technological program in place with large power, large screens, and with Elmos. So in our case, we had blow-ups of some of the surgeries, MRI films after the surgeries, x-rays, and the incision site, and so that we had doctors marking on those and putting their initials on them so jurors could potentially take those back. Then we also put things up on PowerPoint and blew them up on the big screen, on the projection screen for the court. So we use a little bit of both. We try to give jurors a couple of different ways to see demonstratively what happened in the case. Mm-hmm.
Matt, how was preparation for a jury trial during a pandemic different than any other trial prep?
Good question. The biggest difference I found is that in preparing for trial, we like to meet our clients, our witnesses, and spend time with them. We'll usually have them over to our house, or go to their house, have dinner, break bread with them, do interactive things so we can get to know them on a human level. Because of COVID, we're not able to have people in each other's houses. And a lot of people are uncomfortable with in-person meeting. So preparation with witnesses was often over Zoom and by phone, as opposed to in-person getting to know them. And I found that somewhat challenging. In addition to getting experts to come live to trial, it's not always hard. It's even harder now because, in our case, the trauma surgeon was actually unwilling to show up live, and the defense expert as well. So that's something that you have to be prepared for. You have to prepare to get your visuals in place early, when deposing experts, and to figure out how to utilize or best utilize doing a video deposition when there's a lot of documents and a lot of visuals. And that was unique in the prep mode.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to cover? This has been great.
I think that's it for the most part.
Yeah.
Really, really spending time with the jury and setting up that cadence that, please talk to me. I need you to talk to me. Because this is one of these situations where you cannot have jurors that don't want to be involved in the process in not speaking because you just don't know what they're saying. So I think it's very, very important to start that cadence early, that I'm asking questions. I need you to answer them. Here's why. Because I can't understand what you're saying or read you in any capacity to figure out if this case is right for you or not. Can you be that fair, neutral juror that we need without your communication and speaking? And I think that's something that everyone really needs to focus on. And make sure to ask permission from everybody, from the court, from the jurors, about their comfort levels with it, taking off your mask, getting too close, things of that nature.
Yeah, it's a challenge to get potential jurors to speak during, voir dire in a regular non-pandemic trial. This at least gives us some an added reason of why it's critical that they speak up.
Absolutely.
Well, Matt, thanks very much for joining us here on Civilly Speaking and sharing your experience with us.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Sean. Thank you very much.
And thanks to all our listeners out there. Make sure to follow us on Spotify or subscribe to our channel on Apple Podcasts to stay informed about all the latest episodes. And we'll see you here on the next episode of Civilly Speaking.